Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am your host, Sal. Shoe wearer. Lightsaber wielder. Owner of a cellular device.
You know, that reminds me of in Overwatch. You can like.
Who are you? Is your other host, Lizzie.
Hi. No, okay, so in Overwatch, you can like. You have your username, and then like sometimes under your username, like if they look at your like your gaming profile, I guess, like it'll have like a little thing, and it's like a kind of like a title. So like there's like, oh, you know, the rogue, or the epic challenge master, whatever, because you can like unlock them through doing stuff, or you can just buy some, I think. You can't buy the ones that are achievable, you get through getting achievements and stuff. Okay. But so me and my friends did this like really difficult achievement, and we got the Hero of the Light like title. And it's like super cool, and we all put it on because we were like, we earned this, like we earned this. And so now we're just like, if you look at our group when we're all playing, it's just like the Hero of the Light, the Hero of the Light, the Hero of the Light, the Hero of the Light. It's all. I was just, when you were explaining yourself in titles of the shoe wearer.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired from working. Is this what life is? You just work?
Yeah. But then you get to do fun stuff with your money. Whatever's left.
But
after the bills, you have money left over and you're like, ooh, I would like a comic book. And then you enjoy
but
that.
But then I do something fun and then mom is like, why are you doing that? You should be saving the money.
Yeah. Or you can put the money away and pay your student loans.
I am.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's many ways.
But that's the thing. So life is just go to work. Come back. Mm-hmm. Maybe do something.
I mean, you could not go to work and just like be a drifter, a leaf on the wind with no bathroom or shower. But yeah, if you want to live in a society, then you have to work. The field you have chosen was hopefully something you liked.
Yeah.
But it is hard work.
It's just very repetitive.
I mean, I feel like all jobs are repetitive.
Yeah, but why? Like, what? Who created work? Who said that people needed to work?
I mean,
especially like service. Like, who said, I want to be a server and serve people food? I want people to be mean to me. Like,
yeah. Well, nobody said that for sure. Maybe. But. Like, I don't know, maybe it was just somebody who knew how to make better food than everybody else in the little village, and they were like, I will give you 2 whole rabbits if you make the stew for me.
Also, side note, I know Axel is asleep, but I was playing Animal Crossing earlier, and I was like, I haven't played in a while. I forgot. His house is still on my island. But I can't do anything about it because I deleted his user off of my, like, Switch. Uh-huh. So I can't even, like, go and be Axel. and like delete the house or like delete the save or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm stuck and I have a second house that I came and go inside of. Or like I can't demolish it because it's like, well, a user might want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
so he has to go back to his house and like take care of his affairs. No, he can't
because he doesn't have a thing on my Switch anymore. He still
has his own account, right?
Not on my Switch.
Right, not on your Switch, but still, like if he signs into his account, it's not the same island.
No.
Well, I don't know that.
But anyway, I just had to say I was going to tell him that. So I'm like, get off of my island.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Right, you've become a landlord. Like, excuse me, you're wasting space over here.
Well, it's just like
never seen you for a while. Why are you crying?
Echo, don't cry. It's okay.
What are you being a crap? You could come this way.
But anyway, that's all. That's all I had to say about that.
Great. Well, we aren't here to talk about Animal Crossing Islands, Lizzie.
No?
We are here to talk about Ahsoka Episode 8, the finale, The Jedi, the Witch, and the Warlord. Which wrapped up season one of Ahsoka. That's what we're here to talk about.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
Per my last email. We are here to talk about Ahsoka this episode. It's the finale. It was, I don't know. Like, we're kind of coming at it a little bit later. Like, the kind of season got away from us and we fell a little bit behind. And apparently we forgot to record this. So we're actually recording this in the future, or in the now, way after the strikes have ended.
Hmm.
And, you know, we're kind of looking back on the whole season. But, you know, it's good times. That's what we're doing. I mean, you. I still think the best thing about Ahsoka is Ezra and Sabine.
Yeah, I, like I said before, I don't, not that I don't care about Ahsoka. You know, I loved Ahsoka when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. She was a brat, and then she, like, learned, and she grew up, and blah, blah, blah. All cool, but I don't know, I guess I didn't really, like, connect with her. Like, as much as I grew up with, literally grew up with her,
mm-hmm.
except I'm not, like, what, however old she is now, like, what, 40?
Right.
But, like, I grew up with this character.
Yeah.
I'm not obsessed with her.
You are that Clone Wars generation, but you didn't, like, imprint on her like that, the way that maybe a bunch of other kids your age did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know, like, do you have a character that you sort of, like,
you know? I really liked Barisafi.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
No, I still think she's correct. What she did was wrong, but she's correct.
Okay. Well, that could, I mean, that's my Saw Gerrera argument. That's me. But
I liked her because she was like, she thought before she did things. And she was very smart, and she mm-hmm. was like pretty quiet and like well mannered, and like I don't want to say she was a foil to Ahsoka, but they complemented each other very well, and that and like
yeah, like when the, like in the first like in you know it's like those season two episodes where they really get to like play off of each other. And it's, like, very clear, you know, how different Ahsoka is from her and also how different their teachings from their masters, you know, because, like, mm-hmm. you know, she's, you know, Luminara is like, well, my Padawan has memorized the entire layout of the maps or whatever. And Anakin's like, my Padawan's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Because, like, that's not the way that he trains, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really like that way that both of them, and then it kind of also comes to a head where, you know, Luminara's already ready to be like, well, I guess they failed their mission or whatever, so I guess we
should
just...
They're dead.
Guess they're dead. And Anakin doesn't want to give up on Ahsoka. He's like, no, I think, you know, they're going to accomplish their mission. I believe in my Padawan. You know, mm-hmm. and Luminara's like, are you sure you don't have attachments? But you know the way that even their training is different. I always thought that was kind of interesting and kind of cool.
Yeah, but Barisafi. Yeah. I liked a lot.
I mean, she was in very few episodes.
Yeah. But any that she was in was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. She was in, like, some really good ones. I didn't expect that answer. I kind of feel like, coming back to Ahsoka, like, these last two episodes, I feel like she's finally, like, she's connected much more to the character that feels more familiar to her in Rebels and Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where she's, like, standing by her thing and standing by her student and standing by her people. And, like, yeah. Listening, as opposed to just being headstrong and doing whatever she thinks is the right way and trying to, like, make everybody else do that. I kind of like how in this one she's like, well, my master was there for me. Like, like she's taking the good things that Anakin taught her instead of just, like, distancing herself because of what he became. You know, that is, like, a lot of her journey. And I think, like, coming to terms with that whole issue is, like, I think in this episode you see it. Like, how much it affects, like, when she talks to, when she has that scene with Sabine where she's like, you know, my Padawan, my master stood by me, so I'm going to stand by you.
Mm-hmm.
Unsaid, even though you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not exactly what he, okay.
Mm.
But anyway, I don't know. This is a really good episode. It's a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I'm going to, like, Axel has been listening to the Sith List, and most importantly, or not most importantly, but notably Eric Struthers, who was like, I don't know, like, I didn't like the choreo or whatever. And, you know, I don't want to be like, I'm a choreo dude, so I'm right. But I really like the choreo in this episode. It, like, in general, the choreo in the, like, the fighting, the choreography in this whole series has been really well done. But especially in this episode, it is, like, over the top, and the fight between Morgan Elsbeth and Ahsoka is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, better than any fight in the series, not only the series, but probably in a lot of series that we've seen. And I kind of was thinking that going in. I was like, the show's about Ahsoka. Like, this is the actual, like, we haven't got a Jedi show. We've had Mando badly swinging around a darksaber. we've had, you know, we've had Cassian shooting people. We've had a couple of other things. Boba Fett being really
throwing
cool with
people's
gaffy stick.
Faces into a wall.
Yeah, that's all been great. But, oh, I guess we had Kenobi. The choreo was not bad there either. But I think this is, like, far above any of the choreography we've gotten in the other series for sure. I know a lot of people put, like, the prequel choreography on a pedestal, and it's really, really good. But also, like, Ahsoka fighting with double blades is, like, a whole other level. And mm-hmm. I think people that don't swing around weapons don't understand that. I don't know. I really like the fighting. I really like the physicality of most of the fights in this. There are, like, a couple of pieces where there's, like, one specific part where, like, I think they're, like, backing up the stairs and, like, deflecting, and Ahsoka does, like, a little, like, double windmill with the sabers, and I'm like, well, that's not, like, the coolest thing you could do, but, you know, for, like, half a second. But other than that, like, they're doing knee slides, and, like, the same goes, I mean, Ahsoka's on another level because she's dual wielding. So, like, difficulty level hard.
Yeah.
But, like, Ezra looks good fighting with his blade. Sabine looks really good, and she's fighting in full armor, and mm-hmm. I guess that's a thing that people don't think about it, but I just like the style. Like, they...
I think about it.
Do you?
Do you think? As a person that was in said armor, I think about being in armor a lot and how mm-hmm. claustrophobic it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was cool because it wasn't as much. It was definitely just, you know, chest armor.
Like, right, right. Like shoulders. The animated kind of style. It's a lot lighter than whatever she's wearing right now.
But I definitely think about it.
I mean, what do you think about the choreo? Do you, like, I mean, just as a, like, you also know how to swing about around a blade. Like, I don't know if you would consider yourself a martial artist, but you probably, you know how to do
martial artist
choreography. You know how to perform. You've performed in Saber Guild shows, like, throughout the years. You know, and I know you haven't done, like, fights, but you've done, like, really good forms. You've done, like, a few, like, you know how to hold a blade and not to look silly. which is more than
probably. Which I probably still could, like muscle memory, but I don't know. I mean, I don't really pay attention to fight scenes in shows unless I have to study it for when we would have to study forms for, you know, shows and stuff. The only one that I've ever, like, remembered and ever, like, if someone is like, think of the best choreo possible. And I'm like, even, like, at, like, like trying to think of outside of Star Wars, it's just Kenobi and Maul.
Okay, like the last fight. Episode one?
No, the last, their last fight together.
Are you talking about Rebels?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking, like, very, which is, like, this show, I mean, like, that's what, this show definitely is more, like, samurai geared, which is, like, very Japanese influenced than, like, a lot of movie choreography is, like, more Chinese influenced, where, like, it's more like a kung fu movie. Like, when people do action, it's very, like, on a beat. And, like, that's just how choreography is done. You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, swing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, block. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, force push. But, I mean, that's how people dance. That's how people memorize things. That's how choreography in most movies work. Unless, you know, you're, I don't know, Jackie Chan, who really, like, broke that, was like, oh, no, I do things off rift. I do, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, block, punch. And then he's like, I also do, like, I don't like one person coming to attack me. Like, three people are trying to hit me at once, and I'm hitting, like, blocks on two sides while I get kicked in the stomach. Like, other than that, watch any movie and you'll see people are like 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, not like counting it out with their mouths, but like you can feel the rhythm of a fight. I like breaking up rhythm because like that's something that I think about too, just because that's what Jackie Chan did.
And I like really aggressive fighting. Like when people, like when certain fights, the character gets so angry that they're just like kind of just completely like throwing their sword or their saber anywhere. Like, I guess when I think of like that, it's like Luke with Vader.
Like Return of the Jedi.
He's just, just like hammering down on Vader.
I think for that, it's like there's a lot of character in these fights. And I think that's a thing that people don't think of either. Like, whether, I mean, I think people think of it in the terms of like, oh, look, Hayden is doing that spin that he always does. Like, they think of it like that, like a signature move. But, like, the way that you move, the way that you carry yourself, the way that the fight speaks, sometimes it should be indicative of, like, that character. Like, and I've been thinking about this a lot because Sabine specifically is, like, a Mandalorian, an artist, a functional person. Like, her whole style of fighting should be completely different from, you know, Ezra, who's, like, a little bit more of, like, an opportunist, a, like, he sort of like, I don't know how to call it, like, but there's like this way that he kind of runs between the raindrops and like makes things happen his way. Like it, almost in a Han Solo way, but not quite. But like that attitude comes across in the way that he moves, the way that he fights. Like he has these really, and like the way that they put it into this series is like he's doing like Aikido dodges and stuff and like almost like a circular Drunken Master style way before he even has a saber. And then when you put a saber in his hand, he's, like, doing knee slides across the thing. And, like, Bo-Katan was doing knee slides, too, but hers were different. Hers were, like, military, functional. So I think of fighting too much, and maybe I've gone on too long. But I really like that they really did a good job of, like, fitting that to the characters. And in this episode, I think it was really well done. I think, and then also, like, the fact that a lot of it was done by the actors. Like you said, like you were talking about the intensity and the way that like putting that character into the fights, it was them doing it. So like you can get the actress who's doing Ahsoka doing the fight and you can actually get her reactions and her face on camera instead of having to shoot her from the back because it's somebody else entirely. And then she stands up out of a backflip or whatever. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there's, you know, there are stunt doubles for the show who are doing fighting. And in fact, Ahsoka stunt doubles Michelle Lee, who you met when you were little. You may not remember.
She part of the Lee sisters?
She came and trained with us a few times. She was like gonna be in it, and then it, like, and she also worked with the director a lot, like that I used to work with a lot. So like I've met her a handful of times, but I also don't know if she would remember me. But yes, like we all, you know. Yes, that way it was on the
list. Now Paralis.
I was the guy who was there at the park training. You were there too, yeah.
With my child.
With my child. You guys were tiny, tiny then. But anyway.
Yeah, like, I remember because a squirrel scratched my finger.
How did that even happen? Yeah, those squirrels were like always coming out.
Yeah, and I brought food one time.
That's the mistake.
No, I brought it for them. And so I went up to them and I gave them a little thing. And one of them, I'm trying not to take it personally, mm-hmm. but then, like, he tried to grab it. He tried to grab the food from my hand, but I think he overreached, mm-hmm. or maybe it was on purpose. I don't know. Miss. And he, like, with his claws, like, scratched my entire finger just to grab the food.
Yes. That sounds right. Anyway, I really like the choreography. I think they outdid themselves in this episode. I think it's like far above. I think it's deserving of what this show needed to be. This is a show about Jedi, so the fighting needs to be on point. I know we're getting Acolyte soon. And from what like previews and things that we've heard, it's definitely more like a kung fu, like a very Chinese style. Like, so the fighting in the Acolyte is going to be a lot more geared towards something like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or, you know, a Jet Li movie or something like that. Whereas this is a lot more like Japanese. This is more Shogun Assassin. This is more, you know, Yojimbo or something like that. So I don't know. I feel like it fits. I feel like it represents the character well. And I feel like it's, I don't know. I really enjoyed it and I really liked it. But I also like Japanese, like Ronin and samurai movies.
Yeah.
That's fair. Anyway. Shall we get into the episode?
Yes.
We see Morgan Elsbeth, and they're like, "You're so cool. Thank you so much. And now we're going to make you extra cool. Do you accept?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yes." And then they burn her face. And they give her the Sword of Talzin. I'm sorry, the Blade of Talzin.
So is that Mother of Talzin?
Do you remember the episode where Mother Talzin is fighting with, like, Mace Windu?
Yes.
I think it looks a little different, but, like, in theory, like, that's what I'm thinking it's supposed to be, you know?
So, was Mother Talzin, like, I thought she was just kind of, like, the head of that sort of, like, Night Sister, like, clan?
Yeah.
Or is she, like, more than that?
I mean, she was definitely, like, the big bad of the Night Sisters. And yes, she was the head of that clan. I don't know how they know of her, but maybe she was more than all of that and somehow in communications or who knows what with these people. You know, from, you know, these dark mothers or whatever. All the way back here on Peridia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, yeah, it seems like she was a lot more, right? If they're like, look, her blade is this awesome relic that you can equip like a master sword.
Also, so, like, it's not really a relic. She's not that, well, I guess she's old. I mean, but, like, she died right? Not too long ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, who knows how long she ever, you know what I mean? Like, how why is, I don't know. I just thought it was cool. It was cool to hear her name, first of all. And then it was, like, cool that she had this powerful weapon that Morgan could use, like I said, in a really cool fight coming up. But then I was also like, you know, we were talking about last couple episodes, like, oh, you know what, like, why are they teamed up? What did they get out of it? I guess they get to go to Dathomir is their end game. Although if this is like the birthplace of the Night Sisters, why do they want to go there? Is there like something better there? Or
I mean, maybe there's something they can tap into there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it like, but I think that's it. Like, they want to leave here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also didn't catch this before, but Ezra says something like, well, Thrawn found that place and he awoke the Dark Mothers and like that. I couldn't go in. because I'm by myself. And they're like, you're not by yourself no more, mm-hmm. or whatever. But so they've been like sleeping or in some sort of, you know, like, and he woke them up and promised them maybe, you know, the return to Dathomir or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which also brings me to I Was Wrong. When she was like, Thrawn calls to me, like 5 episodes ago. I was like, that's not Thrawn. But I guess it was. He was like, can you take down this message, Dagmar? This, tell her, hey, come get me. Bring a big hyperspace ring about big enough to hold a really cool Star Destroyer with gold on it. Okay, bye.
Mothers, did you tell her?
Do you have any messages in my inbox today?
Mm-hmm.
Mothers, have you checked my voicemail? Yeah. So, I guess it was Thrawn, even though it was the mothers being like, Thrawn told us to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ezra builds a lightsaber.
That was cute. What did you guys think he was going to do a green lightsaber still?
I did. And I wanted it to be green.
Why?
I think green is like cooler. And also like all of the coolest Jedi have green.
Yeah, but he already had green.
Yeah, but I think green fits him better than blue. Like, I think he is a Jedi that's more outside the box, more cooler and original. Like, I almost feel like blue is the basic Jedi color and green is the, like, a little bit outside the box. Like, Qui-Gon Jinn had green. Quinlan Voss has green. Luke Skywalker has green. Whereas the more, like, basic Jedi, Obi-Wan Kenobi has blue. Anakin Skywalker has blue, I guess. He's not exactly
Well, where did
basic.
He find that crystal?
I mean, I think Huyang just has, like, a whole collection.
But I thought it was supposed to be, like, connected to you.
Well, maybe, like, he was like, which one do you want? And he was like, oh, that one calls to me.
That's bull.
Like, I don't know, Lizzie. I wasn't there. But clearly one works. I will give you that, like, when they're building lightsabers, they can sort of, like, activate almost any, because, like, there's this really cool thing I read that recently in the High Republic. And, like, all this crap has gone down in the High Republic. And so they institute this thing called the Guardian Protocols. Mm-hmm. So the Jedi were, like, they were exploring. They were explorers. They were, like, teachers, seekers of knowledge, and all this sort of things. Like, but they institute the Guardian Protocols, and they're, like, we're shutting down all research outposts. All those are going to be manned by droids. Everybody's recalled to Coruscant. And, like, it's all because of, like, this huge threat in the galaxy against Jedi, right? So, mm-hmm. like, you know, all Padawans who are ready to be Jedi Knights must be tested and become Jedi Knights so we can, like, make room for new Padawans and have new Masters to train new Jedi, like the Clone Wars, how they start advancing them really fast. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a time like that. But one of the things was, like, they have all these, like, beautiful gold-crafted hilts of artistry and beauty. And the guy's like, well, we're going to have to start, like, mass producing these because, like, it's kind of like wartime. So the Jedi are going to need more. We're going to be losing Jedi and lightsabers. So we're going to need a bunch on hand. And they're like, we're going to have to start making them like this. Like... And they're all like the lightsabers that we see. And mm-hmm. the guy's like, they're so ugly. And he's like, ah, they don't have to be pretty. They just have to, you know, return our enemies to the Force if that's what they choose.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that idea that, like, they're just mass-producing lightsabers, like, is a thing. I like how he talks about him. Like, I like that he has the Kanan style. I wish it was green,
well,
but
probably,
it's
that's why he probably did blue. I mean, that's the other thing is I don't know if they could choose. But, like, mm-hmm. if I hadn't seen my family in so long, and I just found my family, and I remembered... Probably didn't forget, but, like, remember that one of them died. Probably do blue to remind me of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, the whole hilt is, like, the Kanan emitter and everything. You know, I do like that he's, like, talking. He's like, oh, like, you try to do this. And he's like, that won't work. The thing's too narrow. Excuse me, I've been building lightsabers longer than you've been alive. I thought that was really funny.
Offended.
I was just like, nah, I know what I'm doing. And then he was like, oh, I see, your master was Kanan. Yes, Caleb was a very, like, curious Jedi. Da, 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 da. He had two pieces. He took the one, and I kept this one just in case he ever needed it again. And he gives it to him. I really like that. That was cool. And now Ezra has a, like, Kanan-style saber.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
For his papa.
Mm-hmm. Then he's like, your master was really cool, and he would be proud of you. And then Sabine's like, God, and leaves. And then he's like, what's up with her? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, her whole family died and she got upset. And Ahsoka was like, I think you're training for the wrong reasons. And then they kind of got upset at each other. And it's a whole thing. And he's like, I get it. I know Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What'd you think?
Huh?
I said, what'd you think? I don't know.
Oh, sorry. You said that very far off. I thought you were talking to someone else. So I was like, oh, I wonder what they think. I mean, like you said, I think Ezra just knows Sabine at this point. Like, even when they found each other again, and like Ezra's like, oh, so tell me what's going on. Oh, you're training under Ahsoka? Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, how's like Hera? Oh, hey, how's this? And she's like, no, I don't want to talk about that.
She's still being a little cagey about it. Like, come on, tell him what's going on. Why?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think that's just still who she is.
Yeah, she's always been.
And she hasn't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not like she has to build trust with him again or anything, but there is, like, he's missed a lot.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, okay, this guy that I was, like, really close with, and I missed, like, a lot, and, like, I would just spill everything. Like, you know, just, like, literally right. anything that happened possible, especially because I know I could trust this person.
I mean,
but she does yeah. not.
Well, no, it's not that she doesn't trust
him.
Oh,
I think she's embarrassed.
I think she That's feels why. Guilty. Yeah, I yes. think it's like that, right? Like, she feels like, I don't know. Like,
I caught your wave before you yeah. said it.
Yeah, you were just, yeah, you know Sabine as well as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that she feels guilty about it. And she doesn't want to, like, but he already knows. Like, it's clearly like that they're like, okay, we got to stop Thrawn. Like, he already knows what's happening. I guess she just doesn't want to say that it's like, I mean, maybe she feels that it's her fault, even though I kind of don't think it is her fault, but it kind of is. I guess she did give, she could have destroyed the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think she made the right choice. And I stand by her. Like her master, I stand by her. You know, and then that's where they have the scene where she's like, I'm going to support you. Where I'm like, okay, finally, Ahsoka's looking on the bright side. Like, yeah, we saved Ezra. We did exactly what we're supposed to do. So let's go stop Thrawn.
Let's do the thing now.
Let's do the thing. And I like how Thrawn is like, oh, I guess we missed this part. When they were with the village, like the little noty people. And Thrawn is like, send two TIE fighters at any end. And, like, and they send the two TIE fighters out and they like have the whole battle. And Sabine like knocks them down and crashes the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, got him.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, I really loved that moment. It was such a perfect encapsulation of like, no, that's what we needed to do. Don't worry about it. I don't know. That's one of my favorite parts from this episode.
My favorite part is later.
Okay. So they're like on Wolfback going to the thing. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is also like she doesn't really tell him that she kind of thinks she has force powers. And she doesn't really tell Ahsoka either.
Right, right.
Because she's like starting to think she does. And like mess with it a little bit.
Yeah, she's still like trying, right? And then, like in this part, like when they're going to the castle, you know, he's like, rain down hellfire, like, and they go through the whole orbital bombardment, and she's like, open the door, Ezra, and he's like opening the door, and she's like, help him, Sabine, and she like throws her hand up, and I'm mm-hmm. like watching this going like, what is she gonna do? But then I was also watching this going like, no, you know what, like, that support, that's moral support. Mm-hmm. Remember when Zeb held the staff and like Kanan and Ezra put their hands on his back because they believe in him?
Yeah.
To open the way to Lyra-san or wherever they were going.
They were emotionally supportive.
Yes. He needed that, and the door opened. Oh, although I do remember when we watched this, because we were together for this.
Mm-hmm.
When they go through the door and it's like about to close and we're like, Like, it was such one of those close calls. The doors.
This next part, though, when they fight all of the, like, stormtroopers that are there, mm-hmm. and then they're like, awesome, nice, we did that pretty cool. We did a great job, guys. And then, the Night Sisters, like, bring them back.
Yeah.
That's awful. That was so sad. I can't even, I know a video game reference that is probably close to that, but I don't remember it right now. I guess.
Yeah, your Night Sisters bring him back. That's what happens on Dathomir. Yeah, like this is a whole like big fight scene. It's like three versus all the stormtroopers, and they like bring them all down. Sabine's got full armor, going head to head with everybody with a helmet on. Ezra has his lightsaber now, so like they're all armed and fully going at it. Another thing Axel was like upset by was like, where's all her like Mando stuff? Like she, you know, like remember when in Rebels she has like her jetpack and she has like the concussive like blast from her gauntlets that sort of like force pushes people. He's like, she used her flamethrower like once and that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, maybe like, you know, maybe she didn't, maybe those gauntlets were under her desk for like 10 years and she didn't use them and like she didn't upkeep them and they don't work as well anymore. I don't know. But anyway.
Hmm.
That's just, yeah. That was just the thing that Axel was like, why didn't she blah? And I'm like, yeah, but that's easy to say when you're, a lot of people are like, he's got his head got cut off. Why didn't he duck? It's not how, okay. It's easy to like armchair.
I mean, not a horrible question to ask.
Right, right. And I like, you know, I feel like the story reason she doesn't have her jetpack is because if she did have her jetpack, this whole thing would have ended differently. But like the practical in-universe reason is like, oh, I don't know, maybe it ran out of gas. Maybe it got blown up on a mission we haven't seen. Maybe there's going to be a whole 10-issue comic book series about how Sabine got her jetpack blown up. I don't know.
Okay.
I bet mm-hmm. Sabine looks cool in comics. Yeah, and then the dead rise. The dead talk. The dead speak. Oh, they don't speak. They just rise up.
No, they just rise.
And they do
they
the thing.
They groan.
Like the music. Like it was like, dilly. Like that, the horror music thing when the bodies start like.
Yeah.
And get up again. That was rad. And then I was also like, I see you, Kiners. I see what you did. You did the thing. It's in all the scary things.
Uh-huh. I like finding TikToks that are like people that make sound for movies and stuff, and like there's one guy that's like, oh, like what sound do you think we use?
You're talking about Foley?
With this celery.
Ah, yes, Foley.
And it's like they just like put the celery up close to the mic and they like crack it, and then it's like zombie noises, and I was like, that's horrible. I don't like celery anymore.
You have to let it get like bendy.
Yeah, let it go bad.
My celery must be older than 2 weeks. yeah, so then they're fighting them like all the way up the stairs and like closing doors on them and stuff as they get all the way to the top. And like at some point, sort of Ahsoka sort of faces off with Morgan Elsbeth while, you know, Sabine and Ezra run up to the top and do the you know, to get to the ship or whatever. And then they're like, oh no, we're too late, we're too far. And then they're fighting death troopers. But these death troopers are actual zombies, not like people that were killed 5 seconds ago. So, like, I guess
this is like how, because they're putting everything into, like, keeping the other ones up.
I think these ones are a lot more long-term, kind of like, you know, like Savage Opress, you know what I mean? Like, remember how they did a whole ceremony on the one guy and then then it's done, right?
Yeah.
They were like, Thrawn was like, actually, my death troopers are rather important to me, Dark Mothers. If you could just, like, keep them functional.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra has killed all of them and, like, it's really upsetting because these guys are really good.
And then
they were like, fine. Holly, 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 yop, 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 and did whatever. And then, like, mm-hmm. now they're like zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah. And that's another thing I thought about when they did the whole thing with Morgan Elsbeth. Like, I kind of felt like, and I kind of still feel this way. Like, I felt like she was being used. Like they
were very much
oh, here's this cool weapon and here's this thing. And then he's like, you know, like a little bit before this, he's like, I just need a little bit more time, you know, for the Empire. And she's like, yes, my lord. So like basically saying like, I need you to stay and fight them. And then she's like for Dathomir. Which is like, they didn't really kill Dathomir, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she's going so that way they can go to Dathomir and they can revive Dathomir.
But I felt, like much more almost like, because that's what Savage Opress was, right? Like, they brought him in and like used him as a tool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Night Sisters brought him and they gave him all these powers and they imbued him with dark side power and they made him big and buff.
Mm-hmm.
But like they were just using him. He was just to help the Saj assassinate Dooku, which they failed. But I felt like a little bit like they were using her too. Like they were like, here's this really cool sword and we're going to give you extra Night Sister powers. And now go fight and die so we can get away. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little bit sad for her.
I was too. Especially because I felt like I knew that they were going to upgrade her and just kind of be like, hey, you got what you wanted. You said you were going to do anything for us, and you vowed.
I thought everything was fine until, like, right before that, when they were, like, getting there, I was like, oh, no, like, that sucks. Because she's doing she did all of this, like, all the way back to, you know, the episode of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. Like, she built all of this stuff to get them out of there. And then she ends up sacrificing herself for quote unquote the cause. Yeah. Right? Which, you know, I guess she went out doing what she needed to do, and like technically she accomplished her goal. She gave them the time they needed to get away. But mm-hmm. like I feel like they didn't really appreciate that.
No. But that's the Empire.
Yeah, that sucks. And so then they get up here, they're fighting, they're like Death Troopers, and that's when Sabine uses the Force and grabs a lightsaber. I was like a little conflicted and been like, like that's not how, but then I don't know. I also think back to the George Lucas thing of like everybody has the Force. It's just not everybody can like wield it in that way. And like the idea that she kind of has access to it, but like she's can never really like use it as good as like as good as an Ezra or an Anakin, you know. Hu Yang's like, oh, like your like potential is far under this. And I like the idea that training Sabine as a Jedi sort of redefines what it means to be a Jedi. Mm-hmm. But I also,
but now she's just kind of a Jedi.
Like, yeah, but she's not a Jedi. I mean, she's still Sabine. She's still not a Jedi in the same way that the others are. You know?
Yeah, but it's much like how the whole Rey thing, where they were like, yeah, she's no one. Finally, a character from nowhere. No, she's actually, like, part of this whole big conspiracy mm-hmm. thing in the whole galaxy, and she's, like, the granddaughter of someone super evil.
But this doesn't, like, unlike that, this doesn't really change her story. Like, she's still a Mandalorian.
I think it does.
I think she's still a Mandalorian who trained with the Empire. Like, she's always been a prodigy. So I feel like this doesn't sort of like, I don't know, like the Rey kind of thing, like in some ways it almost like doubles back on things that were said. But then in some ways in others it's like, oh, well, like you weren't like nobody. You were like the worst thing ever. But now you can be cool. Like you can turn out to be the goodest person ever. Which is like kind of cool. But also it was like fine before.
Yeah, I just kind of wish she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like there wasn't really. It was like when a kid's crying and crying and crying for an ice cream and throwing a fit, and you're like, okay, fine, here's the ice cream. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I personally could have gone without it, mm-hmm. but I am not a director or a writer, so.
Well, I mean, now that it's done, Sabine can do the Force sometimes. What do you think, or what do you feel? Does that change your outlook on the character at all, or?
I mean, no, it's not her fault. I don't know. I wanted something different. I wanted, like, even before, like, in Rebels, like, when she couldn't use the Force, so she used, like, the tools that she had.
Right.
Like, I loved that, because she could take care of herself. She didn't need people to help her with that.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't need Kanan to be, like, protecting her and not giving her a saber. Right.
Like, she had like, to do it not, her way.
Mm-hmm. Like, and so making it now that everyone just has the Force, it's just kind of, to me, takes away from her character. And just makes it now, like, just so much easier for her, which I like seeing the struggle, I guess. I don't know. I think that's just the big part of it. Like, I liked seeing that she was different from everyone else.
I like seeing that she has all of these things that she, like, well, I mean, it is a difference from before. Like, yeah, she makes up, she always had all of these tools at her disposal. You know what I mean? And I hope that, like, in the future, when we see her doing things, see her fighting, or see her solving problems, she's still able to use, you know, in what you're saying, I hope she's not just, like, force pushing everybody all over the place just because. Like, even when she came at this fight, she was using her armor, she was using her blaster, like, one hand on the blaster, one hand on the blade, one hand with the armor blocking her faces for face and stuff.
That doesn't really say much, because, like, not every Jedi is just like, all right, force push. All right, force this, force this, force that. I mean, it's just common. Fight. Yeah,
that's fair. But, like, in a lot of things, it is, like, utilized that way. And, like, even Ezra, like, you see him fighting, and he's, like, force stopping people, doing force pushes while he's, like, slicing somebody else.
To be fair, he didn't have a weapon.
Yeah, but even after he did, he was doing force pushes. Like, in this episode, he's doing force pushes on people as he, like, slides and cuts out somebody else. And I still think that the pieces that Sabine has, like, give her more options than what another Jedi would have. And I hope that they continue to utilize them that way. Like, in whatever the future thing she is and however she solves problems, I hope she still utilizes everything at her disposal and not her sort of limited force ability. I don't know. I thought this was a really nice moment, like, where he, like, jumps and he has faith in her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's, like, a real, like, what do you mean? But you don't know how to do this. I can't, trust me. And he's just like, okay, I trust you. Like, that was really, I like that a lot. Like, I like that Ezra believes in her and that she's going to do what she says she's going to do and that she, you know, he trusts in her no matter what. And I feel like in my head, the way that it works is, like, because he's believing in her and, like, adding that to his, like, her strength, like, that's what helps her do, like, the move to, like, launch him to the Star Destroyer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because if I was trying to do something for the first time and the person was like, no, I don't trust you, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, then I would be like, oh, okay, never mind, I won't do it. Never mind, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
We're both going to be stuck on this freaky planet then.
I thought it was cool. And then he does the thing that he, like, always does, where he's like, Della 757, thank you for checking in. Confirmed. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets up there, it's rad. Such an Ezra thing. Drags off the body.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabine turns around to run and, like, you know, to do the jump, because she's supposed to come up next, and turns around and sees Ahsoka fighting. There's a really good line, and I like it quite a bit, where the ship's taking off and Morgan is like, ah ha ha, you know, now you will die here alone. They're like, well, we've accomplished our goals. Mm-hmm. And then Sabine's like, not alone. And that's such, like, a Sabine line, and such a, like she stayed with her master to stand by her side, just like her master stood by her side. Like, I like that. Like, that relationship between them.
Yeah.
Like, they're
just
strong.
Listening to Hu Ye.
Really powerful. And then they have, like, a really cool fight. Ahsoka smokes Morgan Elsbeth, even though the fight was dope, but she lost one of her blades.
Yeah.
So that happened. That's okay. Hu Yang's got, like, a dozen. And then
he has literally a whole closet.
Yeah.
Like, he like had the ship, or I don't know, vice versa, I was like, can I have a closet? And Ahsoka's like, why? You don't wear clothes? Because of my hobby. I still have all of these sabers.
I collect things. This is the newest comic book. Not to mention the, like, six that are on the wall when the, like, little training room, when the room converts, when the table goes into the floor and they have a training room. There's, like, six lightsabers on the wall next to the Bokken. They kill Morgan, they kill everybody else, and then Thrawn's like, by the way, blow up the tower real fast, just in case. I love how nervous he is throughout this whole thing. And it, like, bodes a little ill, because he's, like, he's not giving them any quarter. He's trying to, like, make double sure that they're dead no matter what. Because he could have just been like, aha, we are off on the planet. They can't stop us now. But he's like, blow up the temple. Blow up the base, too. Just blow everything up. You know. And I think earlier in the episode, Morgan is like, well, what do you mean? They have little chance of stuff. He's like, you never underestimate. I've watched many Imperials underestimate rebels. So, like, even I myself fell victim to underestimating a single little jerk face Jedi. And throughout the whole episode, he's like, I need a little bit more time. You go die. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anyway, bye. Blow up the temple. Blow up the temple. Blow it up. All right, we're going. We're going. Everything's good. And then they're, like, on the ship because Hu Yang picked them up, and they're boosting to the ship. They're, like, about to get there, and then he's like, then finally he realizes that they can't stop him, and he's like, ah, now I will make a whole ass speech about this. I thought that was hilarious. He's like, well,
I just hate, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was gonna do my impressionation of the speech, which wasn't
really... I just, like, am so frustrated for him that no one can do anything correctly. Like, she kept them there. She didn't kill a single person important.
Or a single person. It was just them three, just, and they all any left. Of them.
Like, she failed miserably.
Well, depends on how you
with the power of friendship.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Morgan.
No, she succeeded, because her goal was to get this fool off the planet. She just didn't go with him.
Yeah, but no, that... As Thrawn, I would have been like, no, like, these people are still alive. Mm-hmm. Why are they alive?
That's unfortunate. The Dark Mother is, what have you to say? Three loose threads. Dang it. Yeah, no, she definitely.
One is nearby.
Any of them. One loose thread is longer. I don't know. But he makes a whole speech. He's like, well, I knew your master. I was able to deduce your techniques, and perhaps we will never meet, you know. And I regret that we are unable to meet, and probably never will. Anyway, I'm going to the thing. Long live the Empire. You have been an admirable adversary, but I have to go now. And then he goes. And they sort of get stuck on their little thing. They go back to the planet. And this is where we get sort of the ends. I really like from here on out, the music is amazing. The, like, epilogue. I mean, this is kind of an epilogue, not really, but, like, this sort of, like, whole, like ending beats of this episode. So we see, like, they go back to the little village, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, dang it. Thrawn, the mothers, and Enoch are on their road back to the galaxy. We see, what's her name? Shin Hari, like, rolls up on those, the, like, what are they, like, the bandits or whatever. And she, like, is there, she raises her sword, and it looks like she's gonna maybe, like, join/lead them. Mm-hmm. But all I can think of is, because, like, there's a shot, like, it's like, she sees, like, the bandit village, and then she picks up her blade. She's like, gee! And then, like, you see from their point of view, like, they see her up on the hill on her wolf with her blade raised high. And all I can think of is, like, the end of Fantastic Mr. Fox, where the wolf is, like, with his fist up.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, Shin Hari right there. They're like, she doesn't speak English. And she doesn't speak French either. And then you see Balin, and he's like walking out, and it's these crumbled statues of the Mortis gods. And there's like, the father is pointing to this distant light. And so, like, that also confirms that the power that he's, whatever he was searching for, is there. And he's continuing to search for it there.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really cool. Then you have, like, the ship coming into the Rebel fleet, and, like, Ezra gets off in full Stormtrooper gear.
Oh.
Now, here's where everybody's complaining.
Why?
People are like, why would he just roll up on the base, like, in full Stormtrooper gear? Like, you know, we get shot if a Stormtrooper... I'm like, that is exactly the thing Ezra would do.
Yeah.
Like, he would wear his full gear to be like, surprise!
I don't want to hear nothing about them complaining anything about Ezra in the slightest.
You tell him. You tell him, girl.
I don't want to hear anything.
Tell him.
They don't understand.
They don't know what we know. Chopper knows what we know.
And that's... Okay, that was my only thing. Like, not really. Not... Like, I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's not like Chopper is a dog. Like, he doesn't have... smell.
Okay.
Or, like, anything.
I'm gonna refer you to a wonderful short story in the latest From a Certain Point of View Return of the Jedi book, where a stormtrooper is in an argument with an astromech droid. And he's like, this droid is like always picking on me and like locking me out of rooms and stuff. And then I was like, it's not like he can recognize me in the armor, right? You know, it, like, why does he always pick on me specifically? And then he was like, no, we, like, me and my buddy, the other stormtrooper, like, switched armors, and the droid still ran over my foot, so he can still tell it's me. So I just thought that was funny. And also relevant and canon. So there.
Fine.
Whatever.
But anyway, sensors. I thought it was really cute, but then afterwards I was like, huh? How did he know? And so, but yeah, I loved, like, Hera, even though I don't like that Hera, like, I still like the idea of Hera that she was trying to portray. I was like, oh, mom found her son, or son came to mom.
Mm-hmm. I like that Hera just fine. There's, like, nothing wrong with that Hera. I just love the other Hera. That is all.
Right, but that's my thing, is, like, I would have loved to see them reunited, like, with the OG, but right, I understand, right. And that's the thing, is, I just, she doesn't scream Hera to me. I don't know, like, it's fine. I don't care. It's fine. It's whatever.
I mean,
she plays the character. She's a good actress.
She plays the character well, but I just, like, there's already somebody that plays the character.
Yeah, but then also, like, but then I don't know, like, and I can't say, like, oh, well, I just hate all of the, like, the live action character. No, because I really like the Ezra. He looks really good. I do like the Sabine now. At first, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling it. But yeah. Now, like, I think after when she put on the armor, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. That makes more sense.
You know, yeah, now that you say that, like, when you say it like that, like, because I really do love Ezra and Sabine. Like, both of them, the actors in their live-action forms. And I like Hera fine. But, like, not in the same way that, like, as soon as they open their mouth, you're like, oh, that's Ezra. Oh, that's Sabine. So, yes, I understand. And I see what you're saying. I think I understand what you mean. She doesn't scream
as but Hera. But I will say her performance of how she saw, like, Ezra was okay. It was decent.
Yeah. Like, she...
If I was the mother of that child, though, I would be bawling my eyes out. I don't know. I was bawling my eyes out. I'm not even the mother of that child.
But you have missed him, too. We've all missed Ezra. So that was really nice.
I wish Zeb was there.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully you'll see him soon. Then we have, like, Thrawn and them all coming in to Dathomir. And I was like, oh, yeah. I guess that's where they want to go. Is he just going to drop him off? And you're like, okay, I'm gonna go with the Empire now, or they have stuff to do. And then of course whatever they're carrying, mm-hmm. like those crates, everybody keeps going on about like there are these dead bodies and they're gonna be like a zombie army.
That'd be kind of cool.
It would be interesting, but I feel like I
don't. That kind of failed.
I don't feel like that's enough to be like a big threat. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's enough to be this sort of like whatever they have has to be a threat to the entire Republic. I don't know.
Well, my thing is like that didn't work. They died immediately.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, they were fighting three Jedi, and like, you know, across the whole. I don't know. Across the whole New Republic, how many Jedi is there? 4? 5? You know what I mean? Like, Luke's off building his little buildings. Grogu is hanging out with Mando, wearing large medallions. You know what I mean? So, like, non-Jedi might have more trouble killing them, in theory. But, I don't know. I don't see them as, like, this vast threat. But it has to be something. Like, what? I don't know. I just don't know what it can be. But the night, it's got, I feel like it's got to be something, I don't know, like magical or I don't know what. You know what I mean? Like, they have to bring something different to the table. It shouldn't be pieces to another Death Star. It shouldn't be, like, you know, something so mundane in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, I feel like let's lean into the Night Sisters and the mystical stuff that we don't understand. Like, remember how they were, like, doing voodoo dolls of Dooku and killing him while he's in his sleep while he's like mm-hmm. trying to fight off assassins. Pajamas. That was rad. Do stuff like that. I don't know if it's like 1,000 voodoo dolls of every member of the New Republic. They're just going to kill them all and put them in the fire.
Well, they resurrect everyone from the dead, and then they teach them how to do that. So that way every little person has their own person to torture.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's a company effort.
There you go. There you go. It's like they're outsourcing torture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Kaz's curse with the little doll? Do you remember that episode? That episode of Star Wars Resistance?
Yes.
And they had the little doll, and like the one guy was really scared of it.
Yes, I think.
That's one that Axel rewatches a lot, and it's really funny. Anyway. So then we're back on, Peridia, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I, like, trapped us here, you know, or whatever, and Ahsoka's like, look, you did what you set out to do, as you got Ezra home,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's exactly where he needs to be, and so are we, like, whatever we need to do is here, and you see the Convor fly away, you know, you see Mirai, which mm-hmm. is the first time we've seen Mirai the whole series, Like, I think a lot of people are like, well, it's a manifestation of this and it's a manifestation of that. But typically, as far as we've seen in all the other stuff, Mirai appears as a guide. So, if Mirai leads Ahsoka to whatever that place is, like those Mortis statues, Ahsoka might know more than, you know, Balin's like, oh, I heard these bedtime stories when Peridia, da da da, and the Jedi Temple. Ahsoka was there. Ahsoka was on Mortis. So if she's a statue of that dude, she's like, oh, I remember that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wrecked that whole family.
Yeah.
You know, so, like.
Oh, and then, yeah, we do. I don't know. Hold on. Okay. I need my brain to catch up. Okay. Well, that was the other thing, is that we also saw Balin with, like, the whole father, like, statue and stuff. And the sister was, like, gone.
Right.
And the son was there.
I mean.
Which was sad.
Yeah, they're like, all dead. As far as those episodes of the Clone Wars go. But whatever that thing, like. And, you know, he's standing on the statue and the father is pointing and he's, like, looking out to where the father is pointing and there's, like, a light a shining in the distance. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but, like, when they first get there, they're, like, they end up following the sister, but they're, like, going to this light. Like, and that was where the father, well, you know, that was the whole, I don't want to call it a temple, but whatever it was, you know, that's where they had went. And then, I don't know if you remember the ending of that series, but when they leave, like, that light kind of crumbles, and they sort of all look up to it, and as it's crumbling, it's like, it blinds everybody, and then they sort of, they're out.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that thing is like a window to Mortis, whatever Mortis is, or, you know, because Axel was kind of like, well, that's a place, and it was like this weird triangle trapezoid in space. And I was like, yeah, but it's sort of this ephemeral thing that I think exists on like a different plane in a weird way, right? Because, like, you remember, like, the whole beginning is they're like, well, you're at the coordinates. Well, Rex, where are you? I'm here at the coordinates. What? We don't even see you. There's a weird thing in front of us. Anyway, oh, we're losing you. Can't hear you. And then they're like on Mortis. And then they wake up at the end and they're like, hey, you cut out for a second. Oh, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. But my thing is, Ahsoka not only has that connection, but might have a little more knowledge than distant legends read in Jedi storytime temple books. Whatever Baylan is seeking, she might actually know what it is, or be guided
connected.
There. Or connected, or whatever. Which, like, maybe we'll see that in season 2? Question mark. I don't know. It's interesting. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, I like it, Picasso.
Why is that funny? And then, let's see. They're like looking out into like the beautiful night, and then like Sabine's like sees something, and she's like, "What is it?" And she's like, "Nothing." Shadows in the starlight. And then, like, walks off. And then I guess, like, Ahsoka sees the ghost of Anakin Skywalker being like, you did all right, kid. You did all
thumbs
right.
Up.
Thumbs up emoji.
Actually, it's like the Breakfast Club when he leaves and he throws his fist in the air.
Yeah, that's me. That's Kanan. No, you're confusing it with the Kanan ghost on the other side.
Oh, right.
That's what Sabine saw. Don't you forget about
they
me.
They should have had Freddie Prinze Jr. right next to Anakin.
For no reason. He just turns, sup.
Like, not even looking like Kanan at all.
Soup.
Just right next to him, also, like, nodding.
When you walk on by. I liked it. I thought it was cool. And I think I forgot to mention this in our last, like, Anakin episode. Because a lot of people are like, oh my god, like, Anakin, the Force Ghost, like, oh, like, what a cool thing. This is the first time we see Anakin's Force Ghost. No, first of all, the Return of the Jedi. Second of all, there's a really cool book called Shadow of the Sith. In that book, Luke is searching for Exegol. He feels something, he feels some sort of, this is the book where, like, him and Lando go on that mission that ends up with Lando staying at Passana. And Luke goes to Tython, to that, like, meditation stone where Grogu calls him, because he's trying to, like, get in touch with the Force, and like he's having visions, and it's of Exegol, but he can't figure out what the Force is trying to tell him. Which, like, we all know because we saw the sequels. But Luke goes there to Tython and, like, hits that meditation stone, and he's, like, transported to Exegol, pretty much. And he's fighting these, like, Force Wraiths. And they, like, won't die. And he knows he's there, but he also doesn't know how to get out. And he doesn't know what to do. And then, like, there's, like, a crack of lightning in this light. And this, like, robed figure appears with the blue lightsaber. And it, like, all the light, you know, destroys all the shadows and stuff. And he's like, oh, thank you, Obi-Wan. Like, and it turns around and it's Anakin. And he's like, look, I don't know exactly what's happening, but this is, you know, you need to follow this. There's something else happening. There's stirring in the dark side. Like, you know, I can only stay here so long, but I use the last of my power to pull you out. And they're like, Anakin returns him to Tython, presumably, or whatever. But I just, it's like a really cool scene. I'm not describing it in the amount of coolness that it is. But, like, when he turns around and it's, like, Anakin, Luke is like, Dad! or whatever. You know, and I thought that was really cool. But this is cool, too. Don't you? but just so you know.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Although I guess technically that would be after, huh? Because I think that happens, like, way later, you know, in the time. Yeah, because that's about the time when, like, Rey is left.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is, like, a good 10 years down the line. So, never mind. This happens first. Anyway. He's like, yeah, I went to go see my son, but he's just hanging out building houses. Apparently, my son went into real estate, so...
You guys are up to now.
Way more exciting stuff. To... He's got no tenants, though. He kicked the little green guy out.
Wasn't paying the bills.
He wasn't paying the bills, man. He wanted to go. I mean, okay. Season one.
My electricity bill has not come in yet, and it's making me anxious.
You live in fear.
Yes. Like a part of me is like, haha, free electricity.
Yeah, and then, no, it's not free. And then, no part of you should be saying that.
The other half is like, no, that's not correct.
That is incorrect.
I even called them. I was like, hey, so I know, like, on your website, I just looked, like, it says, like, you know, bi-month, like, bi-monthly or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's been a solid 2 months, I think. Where is it? And they're like, yeah, we're going to mail it to you. Yeah. And I was like,
don't worry, we're keeping track.
Like, I trust that you're keeping track, but I just need to know so I can pay it. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Insert Anakin GIF. Incorrect. all in all, great season. I think this might be my, like, this is up there with Andor for me. And I didn't expect it to be. But I guess, to be fair, I do like samurai movies. That kind of checks out. And, like, they're so vastly, like, this is so mythic and adventurous in a way that Andor is not. But, like, you know, out of all the series that we've got, Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, this is very close to Andor. And I really enjoyed it. And I think we have to have a season two, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't think they can just show up in whatever that movie is and be like, okay, we're back. We got out. How? Okay.
No, but don't speak. There should be a season two. But...
Somehow, Ahsoka and Sabine have returned. Come on, that was good.
I was mid-yawn. You didn't catch my laugh. I can't laugh during a yawn.
If I make you laugh really hard during a yawn, do you just explode?
I don't know. I was told that when you sneeze...
Your eyeballs will fly out.
No. That when you sneeze, your heart stops for a second. I don't think that's correct, right?
I don't know, but, like, your heart always stops for a second because it always goes boop, boop, boop.
Well,
boop.
No, but, like... Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just looked it up. I don't like old people. It is a myth that a person's heart stops when they sneeze. The heart does not stop. It changes the rhythm.
Oh, it resets it. Okay.
Your heart cannot stop. And I told them, I was like, your heart cannot stop.
Hey.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
If you sneeze with your eyes open, do your eyeballs pop out? That's what I heard.
You know what I heard when I was younger?
No.
Little, and I think it's funny because I can't tell who made it up. But when I was in elementary school, there was a lot of pigeons, and we would give them food and stuff at my elementary school. And I don't know who told me and how they got this information and why I kept it with me forever. But they were like, yeah, you can't give rice to pigeons because they will explode. Yeah, I don't know. And they were just like, you can't feed rice to pigeons, they'll explode. Mm-hmm. That's why in weddings, they're trying to change, like, instead of throwing rice, they're going to throw, like, something else.
I don't know if that's true.
And I was like, I think those are two separate correlations, two separate stories, but somehow you're making them correlate.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Urban myths. Ahsoka season 2 urban myths. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to see where this goes. I'm really happy with Sabine and Ezra. And I like where their story has gone. And I hope to see more of them in the future.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that if someone asked me, do I like the Ahsoka show? I would say yes, but not for Ahsoka. Like, the only reason I am watching this show is because of the Rebels characters. Mm-hmm. While technically she's a Rebels character. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Yeah, but like, I'm there for the original OG. Five episodes. Yeah, Rebels characters. Like, I want to see Ezra. Yeah, I want to see Sabine.
I mean, like, I almost feel like, I don't know. Like, she did have a story, and she did have a growth and a journey. And I do like her story, but I just like Sabine and Ezra better. But I've always liked Sabine and Ezra. That's not new. That's not news.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair. But I also, you know what? To be, like, there's a lot of characters in this series, and a lot of them are very interesting. You know, I don't want to say more than Ahsoka, but like just as intriguing. I really like even the bad people, like Skull and Baylan Skull and Shin Hadi are very interesting. Thrawn is Thrawn and interesting. The Night Sisters, the Dark Mother. No, wait, those are the same people. The Dark Mothers and Morgan Elsbeth are interesting. Marok wasn't interesting. But I mean, like, a lot of the other characters, like, are also interesting, even the villains. And sometimes that's not a thing that happens.
I think it should be a thing.
No, it is. I mean, it is usually.
Yeah.
A good story has a good villain, you know. Yeah. And I think in this case, like, the villains were interesting. And I'm, like, mostly talking about Baylan and Shin.
I've been hearing a lot of stuff recently. This doesn't really have to do with Star Wars, because Star Wars is its own separate thing from Disney. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of, like, backlash isn't the correct word, but it, like, a lot of hate or, like, dislike towards new Disney movies. Mm-hmm. Because they can't, or I guess people say that they haven't been able to make a likable, like, villain. I guess in this recent one, Wish, they think that the villain is super boring and it's, like, super lame. Mm-hmm. And doesn't really seem like a villain, like, villain, I guess. And I've been seeing, like, on TikToks and, like, a bunch of stuff where they're like comparing like villains back then to villains like in Disney now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just Wish that's getting a lot of hate right now. I haven't watched it, so I can't really say much. I will say one of the songs sounds not great, but like
trying to think of another, like, besides Wish, what else has come out from Disney recently?
Encanto, but like Encanto didn't really have a villain. Kind
of
like
I didn't see Strange World or whatever that was.
A lot of people didn't like that one either, but I also think that one didn't really have a villain, but I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
I thought Moana was a good movie. I thought the villain was intriguing.
Also didn't.
No, that the villain was like the angry goddess that ended up being not so angry.
True.
But it was a good story, and the villain was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I really think it's just Wish that people are not liking.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, classic Disney movies with good villains, and, like, Maleficent comes to mind.
Yeah, people are saying, like, Maleficent, or even, like, Frodo? From The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Because he is, like, evil, but he's also supposed to be this, I think, Catholic person who is, like, no, I'm doing these evil things for God and for this, so, like blah blah blah. I don't know. I don't know what the hate is on Wish yet. So,
but I mean, like, I don't.
But I was just I was thinking of like interesting villains, and I was like, oh yeah, like there's a lot of like, people talking about like the differences, I guess, between like now villains and then villains. Mm-hmm. But also I think it's mostly like the songs that they're upset about, is that the villain in Wish didn't have a really cool villain song and people are upset about it. I don't know.
I haven't seen it. I'm trying to think of what I saw recently.
It was kind of a lame villain song.
I was going to say, I think the last thing we saw was the Marvels. And the villain was, like, fine. But I think nothing against them. I like the movie quite a bit. But I think most of the Marvel villains are, like, throwaway villains. Like,
yeah.
You have Thanos and Loki and, like, everybody else. Like, everybody else is kind of throwaway and lame, like, for one movie.
Kingpin kind of stands out. Like, Star Wars, like, when there is a villain, I like that it's, like, a villain of a different problem. It feels like in Marvel, when there's a villain, they're like, yeah, this villain's actually more stronger than the other villain. Mm-hmm. And then in the next movie, they're like, this one's more stronger.
He's fighting Iron Man because he's got a suit or whatever.
But then, like, but the difference with Star Wars is like, well, there is this villain. He's not more stronger than this one. It's just that this is the problem now, and this is why he's the worst.
Yeah. I like that, like, I mean, going back to, like, the origin of Thrawn, like, back in the Legends days, like, the idea of Thrawn, he's space Sherlock Holmes, basically. And, like,
yeah,
like, what makes him a threat is not his physicality, is, like, he's a genius that can outthink everybody.
A nerd.
Yeah, but that's, like, interesting, especially in a world war where, like, most of the villains in Star Wars, and, like, going back to Legends, the good guys are, like, Jedi with lightsabers, and the bad guys are, like, guys with red... Like, every villain was like, well, I'm, like, a Sith, or I'm a dark Jedi, got to the dark side. Like, every villain was just a bad Jedi. You know what I mean? Like, so, to have a character like this introduced, it was such a breath of fresh air. Because it was, like, interesting and intriguing and could fight and Thrawn the good guys in a different
way. He doesn't have, like, beef with anyone. He's just kind of like, no, maybe I want to make... now he does. But I'm like, at first, like, he was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to bring this government to victory. We're going to do it. Let's do it. He doesn't like Ezra. But
anybody who's curious about how Thrawn and Anakin were met, go read a book called Thrawn Alliances, which I believe is also getting a comic adaptation next year. And that's, like, it's this really cool book where Grand Admiral Thrawn is teamed up with Vader on a mission to whatever, but it also flashes back to the time they met during the Clone Wars when Anakin Skywalker and Mithra Nyurodo went to Batuu to help Padme.
Mm-hmm.
So, good times. Go check that out if that's what you're interested in. I guess that's it. You got anything else to say, Lizzie?
Nope.
All right, we have knocked out this whole season. We got other stuff coming up. There's going to be plenty more books, comics, cartoons, Young Jedi adventures and such to talk about. So, you know, stay tuned. Have a good time. Please listen, subscribe, share us with your friends, and, you know, be cool.
Like and subscribe.
Be cool. Stay.
Sincerely,
the
love is the same.